Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. And there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can always send comments through the website. Plus, you can post thoughts, suggestions, and engage with other listeners in the show's Facebook group, which is called CSR Listeners. There's a button for that, too, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Please help me spread the word about the show. I'd be most grateful if you would tell others to listen in as well. And by the way, if this is your first time listening, thank you. And do go back and listen to previous episodes of Catholic Sports Radio. There have been a lot of great guests, a lot of really good testimony. As for my ministry moment for this episode, each week I surrender to the Holy Spirit for whatever God wants me to say in this portion of the show. Some might be tempted to say that I have to challenge myself to get inspired to deliver an impactful message to the audience, although I really consider it an honor and a blessing. A sports analogy could be that we think of a coach, in particular someone who has been coaching for years and years, and they have to come up with a different rah-rah speech before each and every game. Game after game, season after season, year after year, they're searching for something new, something fresh, something inspirational to say. They're looking for just the right something to motivate their athletes. If you see yourself on the receiving end of that, whether as an athlete or in your spiritual life, meaning if you need something to get you charged back up, heed the words of Pope Francis during his address on June 1st, 2014 at, and you'll love how fitting this is, the Olympic Stadium in Rome, where he said, quote, "Seek unity in the renewal, because unity comes from the Holy Spirit and is born of the unity of the Trinity," end quote. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is the varsity girls golf coach at St. Francis High School in the San Jose, California area, where she is also the assistant athletic director for mission and engagement. She previously was the junior varsity girls golf coach at St. Ignatius Prep in San Francisco. In her college days, she attended the University of Notre Dame, where she competed in rowing for 4 years. She is also the author of a book called Play and Practice with Purpose, a playbook for the spiritual development of athletes, and she has completed 3 marathons. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Ann Stritchers.
Thank you, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's great to have you on the show. Wow. I almost feel like this episode is going to be like a game show. Let's see how much we can squeeze in within the allotted time. So, for starters, congratulations. I know you're hitting your one-year anniversary at St. Francis High School, where, as I mentioned, you are the varsity girls golf coach. But elaborate on what you are tasked with as assistant athletic director for mission and engagement. Plus, share with the audience what else you do at St. Francis.
Yeah, I am in a new position. So St. Francis is a Catholic high school founded in the tradition of the Brothers of the Holy Cross, similar to Notre Dame. Notre Dame is Fathers of the Holy Cross, but the Brothers of the Holy Cross. We have 1,700 students, and we have a robust athletic department. We're actually in a Catholic athletic league, the West Catholic Athletic League, which is in, as you mentioned, it runs from San Jose on the south end to San Francisco. And we're very intentional about sports as a way to form young people. So this new position as an assistant athletic director, I'll be working with coaches, parents, and athletes to really integrate our mission and our values through sport. In addition to that, I teach a theology course called Sports and Spirituality. It's an elective for seniors. Wow. I mean, what a great course. I know I'm biased, but that is my favorite part of my day. Even more than coaching is the sharing of the word, right? Prayer and the lives of athletes and saints with young people.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I mentioned in the intro that prior to St. Francis, you had been in San Francisco at St. Ignatius College Prep, where you were the junior varsity girls golf coach, but again, that mix of faith and sports. You taught religion there too.
I sure did. Yes. So I was hired at St. Ignatius. You know, I actually, Bruce, I coached crew for 1 year before I went to St. Ignatius here in San Francisco. It's called SI. And I still live in San Francisco. It's where my mom was born and raised. So I was coached to work with the girls' rowing team. And I loved the school. I loved the community. And so I applied for a position. I had been teaching theology at another high school. And so I then coached crew and taught in the religious studies department. And there's something to be said for a community of faith. I worked with outstanding educators. They helped me to become excellent. So really, sometimes people think of religion as an easy class. And I thought, you know, wow, what if it was the most challenging class, like intellectually, you know, and emotionally, and engage young people? My colleagues helped me develop that. And we can get to how sports and spirituality came out of that. But we had a great religious studies program. So shout out to the Wildcats. That's their there. And it was a great part of my journey, to quote my friend Haley Scott DeMaria, who I know you've had on the show.
Yeah.
Not our story, our journey, right?
And as you started to tip your hand to, it's probably about now that we should enlighten the audience on the fact that you actually come from a family of educators and athletes.
I do. I often wonder how true that is for other teachers. My dad, his brothers, he has four brothers. Three of them are educators. Mm. They're all married to teachers. So I was really always encouraged. And my grandfather was not only a teacher, but he was a high school football coach. I was always encouraged to teach. I loved school. I played school as a child. So that was a big part of my family tradition, and my faith tradition. And yes, athletes, we all played sports. We were encouraged. My dad actually played tennis in college. He got a scholarship at Seattle University.
Wow.
His dad honestly didn't really encourage him to play tennis. He, you know, was more of that gridiron, tough football. And my dad learned on public courts in a small town in Washington State because of some neighbors. And again, a community that said, we're going to help you learn different sports, recreation. And it took him to new places. So I really believe that sports, that's one of the values it can add.
And I do want you to mention about your uncle also.
Yeah, so this is kind of a fun part of my family. A lot of people, you know, don't like the zebra, right? If you know what I'm talking about, the black and white, or I will never yell at a referee. My grandfather was, now it's the Pac-12, but back in the day, it was the Pac-8. So he was a Pac-8 referee. He actually refereed in the Rose Bowl before it was on television, which is, the Rose Bowl was a big deal. And then my Uncle Jay, one of my dad's brothers, was a Pac-10 and then 12 referee. He retired officially as the White Hat, but he now works with the formation of younger referees because as many people involved in high school athletics know, we want to really cultivate and help develop young people to serve the game and be referees. We always need more officials. One of my uncles is a high school basketball referee, so I have great respect for those folks who serve sport in that way.
Wow. Wow. And listeners, you heard that Anne mentioned Haley Scott DeMaria. She, as Anne mentioned, was a guest on this show. If you never heard the interview with her, go back and check that one out. And while we're talking about officials, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Phil Cuzzi and Rich Garcia. Phil is a current Major League Baseball umpire that was just on the show a few weeks ago. And Rich Garcia, off the top of my head, I want to say episode 61. But these, of course, are all on CatholicSportsRadio.net or wherever you're listening to the show. And when I was introducing you, I said that you competed in rowing for 4 years at Notre Dame, but it's golf that you've been coaching for so many years now. So when did you first get involved with that sport?
Yeah, you know, Bruce, I've always been a sports fan. Sports were always on in my home. And that's another part of my story. The Strigger side of the family, that's all they did, is watch and talk sport. My mom's side of the family did not. Although my grandfather, actually, that grandfather competed against Eric Little, the subject of the movie Chariots of Fire. But the Strigger side won out. So even though the love of sports is in my blood, the side that talks about it is the Strigger side. So I loved golf. It was on television at my grandfather's house. He loved to play. I always say some people would rather have blood drawn than watch a golf tournament. I just think it's so relaxing and beautiful. And so it's something that, you know, men and women play. I grew up playing tennis. So a lot of tennis players end up playing golf. It's not uncommon. But, you know, that's always more fun when you have boys and girls that can play. So I was attracted to the game. And as you mentioned, I had been an active runner. I'd coached cross country. In 2010, I was diagnosed with a heart condition. I have an internal cardio defibrillator and pacemaker. So my electrophysiologist said, you can do yoga, you can walk, and you can play golf. So whereas before I would have maybe run, played tennis, you know, I love lifting weights and I still do that to some degree. Golf became not only a necessity, but a reality. And I see that as a sign of God's mercy to me, because I love golf, which is scary because golf is, it's a 4-letter word, as we say, right? We always say, you know, my mom's Irish. It's a terrible game. It's a terrible game, right? You, one day you're great and you will be humbled. Believe me, you will be humbled the next day. So there's a proverb, to teach is to learn. So as a coach, in order to teach and help coach young people, you have to learn it. Well, that sounds good to me. I'm always working on my game.
And I want the audience, if you haven't already by this point, to see the common thread so far throughout this episode. Everything that Anne is talking about is faith and sports, faith and sports, faith and sports. And another sport, and you even coached cross country, but even that was at a Catholic high school also.
It sure was. Yeah. We would say at St. Ignatius, 10% of the student body was on the cross country team. We had one year, we had 107 girls.
Wow.
So our girls program, when I coached it, was separate from the boys, even though we would compete together. And there were real pluses to that. We were such a tight community. That was a wonderful experience. And I was an assistant coach. And there are real virtues to being an assistant coach. Anybody can really, if they want to help out and work with young people through athletics, be an assistant coach. Paul Westhead, he was the coach at Loyola Marymount. He's a Catholic. He said, be good at one thing. Dean Smith was the coach at UNC. He said, you know, one of the greatest coaches of all time. He said, he's probably the only coach who's been better at more than one thing. Most people are really only good at one thing. He said, Dean Smith was good at five.
Wow.
So as an assistant coach, I had my thing, and that was developing this kind of community of faith with the athletes. So yes, I ran with them and I loved running with them. That's one of the best parts of being a cross country coach, is the fact that you can work out with your team. I didn't do the reps, but you know, on longer runs, I would of course accompany them. And then I thought, we can pray together. We can serve together. There are things that we can do. So that's kind of the role I took. And the two varsity coaches I worked with really encouraged me to do that.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So listeners, you're certainly hearing how Anne is a great fit as a guest for this show, a very logical choice to have on Catholic Sports Radio. Plus, there's her book that deals with faith and sports. But before I ask her to talk about why she wrote that book, if you've been on the Catholic Sports Radio Facebook page, Twitter account, or in the CSR listeners Facebook group in the last week or so, you've noticed that I finally got the banner images at the top updated to something more current and more accurate. Of course, there is a fee that goes with having a designer do those for me, just as there was for projects like initially getting the image created that you see on iTunes and Spotify, for example, as well as a logo for Catholic Sports Radio. That is just the latest example of the expenses that I have to keep this ministry going, costs that have to come out of my pocket, since I not only do all of this by myself, but I do it without any sponsors. And of course, I do it without a paycheck. So if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio and feel that I'm giving you something each week that you'd like to support, I would be truly grateful. It's as simple as going to the show website, catholicsportsradio.net, and using the Donate to CSR button so that you can contribute securely online in whatever amount you wish. No contribution is too big and no contribution is too small. You can also send a check or money order instead via U.S. mail. Just get in touch with me through the contact page on catholicsportsradio.net and I will write you back with an address that you can send to instead of putting credit card information online. I have detailed many of the other expenses on some past episodes, in particular on episodes 53 through 60. Anything helps and is appreciated. And your contribution also tells me that you believe in and enjoy Catholic Sports Radio and that it's helping you in your faith life. Pray about it and know that I do truly appreciate your support. And in addition to everything else we've talked about so far, you are also the author of Pray and Practice with Purpose, a playbook for the spiritual development of athletes, which came out just a little over 3 years ago. The title sounds pretty self-explanatory, but just give the audience a little bit more detail about that.
Yeah, so Bruce, in that role, working with the cross-country team, developing traditions, rituals that were connected to our faith, I found that other coaches were doing this as well. And one of the virtues of coaching, at least for me, is that I've become friends with so many other coaches. You know, if you're coaching a cross-country meet, you're standing around a lot. So you end up talking to these people and you collect these friends. So again, another push for people to consider coaching. And in those conversations, I would find out about these fantastic ways that coaches were including their faith with their sport. And I just kind of started to collect the examples, because honestly, football is a different group of athlete than maybe your water polo players. And, you know, maybe water polo is different than the cross country team, and cross country team is going to be different than girls basketball. So I wanted to find things that work, because I think, to be honest, there's a lot of kind of, I don't want to say bad prayer, because there's, you know, it's not a bad prayer, but prayer that wouldn't resonate with maybe a high school teenager about sports.
Gotcha.
Maybe campy, or they rhyme, right? There's some that do, but you have to, as a coach, I say, offer what you are comfortable with and what is authentic to you, because then your team will kind of follow. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to know what was out there and what was working. And so I developed 30, I just have offered 30 ways that you can pray with your team. Some of it is individually. I think coaches need to pray for their athletes. Teachers should pray for their students. Parents certainly pray for their children. So encouraging coaches just to pray for their team. Maybe coaches as a staff want to pray together. And then teams, how do they pray together? Silence, how is silence a prayer? How do you bring your students to silence? And then 30 community building activities. So that's what the book offers. And, you know, as a teacher in the summer, I love to travel and I do service trips, but I had time to write. So it was time to offer a resource for coaches and athletic directors that said, here's some things that I know they work because they've been used by others. Take some, leave the others, go for it.
Wonderful. Wonderful. At one point in your professional career, you worked for the NCEA. Tell the audience what that is, as well as what you shared with me about what took place when you worked there.
Yeah, so I worked in our nation's capital. The NCEA is a membership organization for all Catholic schools throughout the country. Actually, it offers international, Australia has an interesting Catholic school system. Some of their schools are members of NCEA. They are known for a convention that they have Easter week. Traditionally, Catholic schools are not in school during Easter week, so it would be professional development. Again, you know, now it's web resources, but publications, et cetera. I had taught for 2 years in the Alliance for Catholic Education through Notre Dame, and I was wanting to work at Notre Dame, but this opportunity came up in D.C. The woman who co-founded ACE, Sister Lord Sheehan, Sister Mercy, she asked me to work for her. And I refer to this, Bruce, as reluctant spirituality. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to go. I wanted to go back to Notre Dame, which is easy because I knew campus and I loved the community. But I think sometimes the spirit calls us to another place where there might be more growth. And certainly I could have stayed at Notre Dame, but the opportunities that were afforded to me by working for the NCEA, I worked with, in particular, administrators in Catholic education. So I met a lot of superintendents, people on the diocesan level.
Okay.
This was 98 through 2001. So the economy was different. There were a lot of Catholic schools. As listeners probably know, a lot of our schools have closed, in particular in the last 20 years. And I still believe in St. John Newman's quote, I never say his last name, right? Open a school and you'll have a church. I think it's a beautiful message that through a school community, right? Maybe we can, whenever you bring people into the church, right? Maybe we'll get those folks to go to church, to go to Mass. Not always, but I certainly would hope so.
And speaking of going to Mass, when you worked at the NCEA.
Yeah, we had Mass every day at noon. So there was Monsignor John Jordan, who had a position at NCEA. Now, he wasn't always in town. I think he was Diocese of Scranton. But whenever he was in town, you got to love daily Mass too, right? I mean, we're talking 25 minutes max, right? In and out. It's not difficult. It's a great way to gather as a community, share the Eucharist. And the Eucharist nourishes us so beautifully and in a way that we need food for nourishment, but we need the word and we need the Eucharist for nourishment.
But too. Am I understanding it correctly that that daily Mass that took place when you worked there took place in your office?
So the office, yes, it did. So we our office, I'm trying to think of how many people worked there at the time, maybe 60, 65. There was a chapel. We took the room and it was labeled chapel, you know, like places could do. And we had the Eucharist there, the real presence with the candlelight on, and there'd probably be maybe 6 to 8 people. But one woman, Lucille Soma, I remember her. God bless her. If you hear the show, Lucille, could always count on her to be there. There's always somebody. There's always somebody that's faithful, right? To in any community.
And
I love those people.
Well, let's come back to, for all intents and purposes, present day. Share with the audience what you did last summer with 15 other teachers.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm so grateful because it wouldn't have been able to happen this summer. Camino de Ignaciano. So the Camino of St. Ignatius. So listeners, you're probably familiar with the Camino of Santiago, St. James. It's very popular. In fact, its popularity has only increased. And a lot of people take a pilgrimage, not intentionally as a faith experience. This certainly was. We were guided by a Jesuit priest who created this. And it's the Way of St. Ignatius. So we flew into Barcelona. We took a train up to the Basque Country to Loyola, where Ignatius grew up. And then we walked back to Barcelona to kind of mimic his journey. We went to Montserrat, Manresa. I was with 14 other educators from Jesuit high schools. We had daily Mass. We would pray 2 times a day during our walk. We would walk in silence for 45 minutes.
Wow.
So I would pray the rosary. I didn't bring my rosary, but a teacher from Regis Jesuit in Denver lent me his rosary. I would just look at him and give him the thumbs up, and he would give me his rosary. And we stayed in hostels, and it was very challenging, like a pilgrimage should be. But they say the graces of pilgrimage take years to, they're planted and then they yield fruit for years to come.
Amazing. I also want to make sure to give you a chance to talk about your summer of 2017.
In 2017, I got a fellowship from the Tauber Fellowship to study at Yad Vashem. Yad Vashem is the Holocaust Memorial Museum in Israel. I was one of 30 educators, so 15 from Canada and then about 15 Americans. Mm-hmm. And for Catholics, going to the Holy Land, they say it's akin to reading the fifth gospel.
Mm.
So, right, there's the four gospels. But then when you go there, it's like you're taking in and viewing and visiting the holy sites, and you can't help but hear the word and read the gospels differently once you know, right? The Sea of Galilee, the temple where Jesus is, that we believe that he preached as a young 13, Jerusalem, where he was crucified, you know, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. It was very emotional to see Calvary, you know,
beautiful.
Gethsemane.
Beautiful. Well, we are out of time, but I want to just close on a little lighter note. As busy as you keep yourself, you do make time to play golf, of course.
You got it, right? Yes. Golf's been one of the few things that we've been able to do for quite a while, right? In this time of shelter in place. Our course I play at is called the Olympic Club. It's the oldest athletic club in the country. The club has hosted several championships, including the Women's Open for next year.
Mm.
So I'm out there try to get out there two times a week on a good week, just so I can keep up with my own golf team because they're so talented. Here's a fun fact. We're one of two clubs to have hosted both the men's and the women's. Right now, only one has, but next year we'll be the second.
Wow.
That's Baltusrol in New Jersey. Yeah, there.
Very neat. Very neat. And this has been great. Thank you so much for your time, and God bless you for all the work that you're doing in his name. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Bruce, for your podcast. I mentioned this to you, but learning about your show is a reason I met St. Francis. Mm-hmm. My boss, the athletic director, gave me an article about this show. And that's how I found out about your ministry. And knowing that he valued what you do was really a difference maker in that choice, that discernment piece to start a new chapter. So thank you for your ministry and all the people that you bring to podcast world.
My pleasure. My pleasure. I'm humbled to have some sort of role in what you just described. Listeners, let's close with a prayer today that is in the scope of Anne being a coach, and do it together in the name of the Father and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll start with a passage from Proverbs 10, which says, "The one who lives with integrity lives securely, but whoever perverts his ways will be found out." Lord, in a world where integrity seems to be forgotten, help me see those times when I put my own at risk. Give me the strength to ask for help and even more strength to listen. Lord, use my life as an example of integrity so that it may be passed on to another generation and to the athletes you have entrusted to me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.